This is WJBC this year.
ISU! 40-yard line, he's going to score 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Redbirds!
Thought we were going to win the game. You know, I had a lot of confidence in our quarterback and in our offense. I thought we'd come back and win.
Upon arrival of rescue personnel, it was determined that there were no survivors.
A strength to this campus and this community is that the Redbird family answers the call when there's a need.
That bill is a declaration of war against the taxpayers in Illinois.
I would say it's because the governor's not addressing these issues.
And to aggressively engage key local, state, and federal leaders to help us develop an aggressive strategy to find a new owner for the local Mitsubishi facility.
We think about not only the plant, but the workers and the families and what it means to this community.
It's been a great company. I said the employees have been fantastic. They've been so generous with all the different organizations around here.
I joke that being known for six packs is a lot better than the alternative.
10 years from now, whatever he's doing, he'll be successful at. I'll promise you that. 2 years from now, he'll be successful. Because if he's not in jail.
Somebody was running out. I saw a big cut down his arm.
White guy?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Hope he's completely normal.
Yeah.
How are we making sure that the next Trayvon Martin, Mike Brown, or Eric Garner is not going to be a local citizen?
I trust those terrorists more than I trust our president.
Not in our town! Racism, stereotyping, not in our town! Bloomington Normal is for everyone!
He's a bro with no hope.
Welcome to WJBC This Year, where we look back at the top stories and interviews from 2015. I'm Eric Stock. In the first of two installments, we look back at triumph and tragedy on the Illinois State campus, the Redbirds' run for a national football title, followed a few months later by a plane crash that took the lives of seven Redbird supporters. The area lost hundreds of jobs with the Mitsubishi Motors plant closing, and the state went half of 2015 without a budget. 2015 was also a milestone anniversary year for us at WJBC. All that and more as we listen back to the top stories of 2015. This is WJBC This Year. Welcome back to WJBC This Year. In April of 2015, seven people lost their lives in a plane crash in Bloomington. WJBC's Terry James looks back at one of the top stories of 2015.
McLean County Sheriff John Sandage held a news conference the afternoon of April 7th. A plane crashed just northeast of the Central Illinois Regional Airport.
At approximately 3:15 a.m., an officer with the Bloomington Police Department located a crashed aircraft in a field northwest of the intersection of Illinois Route 9 and McLean County Road 2100 East. Upon arrival of rescue personnel, it was determined that there were no survivors.
The men on the plane were headed back from Indianapolis and the NCAA tournament. The pilot, Tom Heilman, Aaron Leach, ISU Deputy Director of Athletics for External Operations, Tori Ward, ISU Associate Head Men's Basketball Coach, Scott Bittner, owner of a Eureka Meat Company, Andy Butler, Terry Strelo, owner of Pub 2, and Jason Jones. We heard from ISU Athletic Director Larry Lyons.
Our focus is our student athletes. Our focus is the families who need us now.
ISU President Larry Dietz.
Real stars in their own field, and we're going to miss them terribly, as well as the other supporters that were in the community. So our heart is just broken today, but we'll be resilient, and we'll move on and honor their memories.
Again, an emotional ISU Athletic Director Larry Lyons.
I know we're here primarily to speak about Aaron and Tori, but it's important to mention Andy Butler, Terry Strelo, Jason Jones, Scott Bittner, and Tom Heilman. There's a large void in our community and our Redbird family. And really, Bloomington Normal is a small town. And in many respects, everybody is touched by this tragedy. And they will all be missed.
A day we will never forget. Terry James, WJBC and WJBC.com.
The days after the crash were filled with sorrow, confusion, and sometimes anger. While the Redbird community pulled together, Athletics Director Larry Lyons led a news conference the day after the crash.
A strength of this campus and this community is that the Redbird family answers the call when there's a need. I'd like to thank President Larry Dietz, Jay Groves, and their staff for their help and guidance. Our campus community has reached out. The Bloomington Normal community has reached out. Support has come from every athletic department across the country. Incredible support. I'd also like to thank our staff and our coaches for doing what we do and to support our student athletes in this endeavor. Our focus is our student athletes. Our focus is the families who need us now. It's a bumpy road, but the Redbirds will be there. I know we're here primarily to speak about Aaron and Tori, but it's important to mention Andy Butler, Terry Strelo, Jason Jones, Scott Bittner, and Tom Heilman. There's a large void in our community and our Redbird family. And really, Bloomington Normal is a small town. And in many respects, everybody is touched by this tragedy. And they will all be missed.
And ISU men's basketball coach Dan Muller addressed his players.
I got a hold of the guys as soon as I heard. It was my first priority to tell them, and we met as soon as possible. And talked and grieved for a little while, and the shock set in. But we decided that, you know, keep the same schedule was the best thing we could do, and gave the guys actually a choice of whether they could go to class or work out. They all wanted to, and I thought it was very healing, a good thing. We had guys in there now that will continue that. So, I wouldn't say surprised, and I would say I was very glad that we did that. We have a bunch of players that loved Tory Ward, truly, and loved his family, and it's hard for them. And so we just try to help them through the process, and I don't know what other questions will be asked, but I want to say to Tory Ward's fiance Janine and his mother Janice and their families, and just please, and his kids, little Tori and Tamia, just, they'll always be family, and they know that, and just keep everybody in their prayers, and we can never repay what these people did for us.
And hundreds attended a prayer vigil at Redbird Arena later that week.
I saw a young lady earlier today, in the midst of all of this drama, was up there plucking flowers and beautifying the area. She took some flowers out that didn't belong. She took others out, and she did fantastic things and made a fantastic display. Her name was Lena. I thought to myself, that is exactly what God has just done. He's come to his garden, and he took seven of his flowers out of his garden. Though we can't see it now, his garden is going to be even more beautiful because of what he has done. We may not see it, Joe, but trust God. Trust him that what he has decided is right.
In September, the university unveiled Redbird Remembrance, a memorial outside Redbird Arena that pays tribute to all seven of the victims. The National Transportation Safety Board has not yet issued a final report on the crash. The crew was returning home to Bloomington from Indianapolis, where they watched the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. The tragedy of that plane crash came months after Illinois State's near miss in the FCS National Championship football game. The Redbirds flew south to try to unseat the three-time defending national champions from North Dakota State.
Yeah, definitely. The goal is just not to get here, though. We just don't want to come here to participate. We want to come here and go back home to normal with a W.
And the campus was in full-bore celebration even before the Redbirds flew south. WJBC's Adam Stasinski reported.
The Redbirds have a date Saturday with North Dakota State in the FCS National Championship. Doug Lance is one of many fans who braved the freezing weather.
My wife's an alum from ISU, and my daughters and I, we come to a lot of the basketball and volleyball games because I have four daughters and two of them are involved in sports, so we come and support the ISU women's programs. And one sports football team. We come to a lot of the games, and we love it.
Lance will be watching Saturday's game at a friend's house. That friend happens to have been a member of the 1969 ISU baseball team, which took home a national championship.
And now to the game. The Redbirds would fall behind early.
Wentz gets it. Looks, throws into the end zone. Touchdown, North Dakota State. Tight end. It's a 9-7 NDSU lead, the first time they've been ahead.
But the Birds would rally late.
40-yard line, 30-yard line. He's going to score. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, 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 Redbirds.
But a late Bison score would steal victory from the Redbirds.
Warlock, the running back next to the quarterback, is going to try to run it in, and he gets in for the score, and North Dakota State takes the lead with 37 seconds to go.
North Dakota State 29, Illinois State 27. ISU senior Chris Highland puts the Redbirds' historic run into perspective.
We look back on this season, you know, maybe it's a week from now for some guys, maybe it'll be a couple months for others to get over it, but sooner or later, time heals all things. And when we come back 5, 10, 15 years from now to this university, and we'll be remembered as one of the best teams in Illinois State history.
And Coach Broxback was ready to get back to work on a possible return trip to Frisco.
Obviously, we'd like to be on the other end of it, but we're not. So we go back, set our jaw, and come back next year.
And the Redbirds would again win a share of the Missouri Valley Football Conference title with North Dakota State, but lost in the quarterfinals to Richmond, who was knocked out the following week by North Dakota State in the semifinals. The area received some tough news back in July when it was announced that McLean County's sixth largest employer would be shutting down. WJBC's Adam Stasinski reports on the closing of the Mitsubishi Motors plant in Normal.
Hi, you've reached UAW-2488. At this time, we are not able to make
Mitsubishi Motors released a statement on a Friday morning saying it is necessary to end production and seek a strategic buyer for the plant. The reactions poured in from local leaders, including State Representative Dan Brady.
Obviously, it's very, very upsetting, and we think about not only the plant, but the workers and their families and what it means to this community.
Congressman Rodney Davis added his support.
I would hope that we could work together in a bipartisan and then also with the company and with the union to ensure that if Mitsubishi's not going to remain there, that they're willing to part with the facility that's there so someone else can come in.
Normal Mayor Chris Coos said the community needs to embrace this as a new opportunity.
And to aggressively engage key local, state, and federal leaders to help us develop an aggressive strategy to find a new owner for the local Mitsubishi facility.
Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner said finding a new owner won't be easy.
Certainly not going to gloss it over to say, hey, you know, we've got a 50-50 chance at getting somebody. I think the odds are long.
A task force was formed immediately to try and find a buyer for the plant, but one was not found in time to stop the plant's last shift from happening at the end of November, an event which drew more than 150 people to the plant. Gary Fern worked at the Mitsubishi plant from 1998 until he retired last year.
After spending so much time here at Mitsubishi and enjoying quite a bit of it and having so many good friends here, we just felt that it would be worth our while to come up here and support them.
President of United Steelworkers Local 787, Mike Tucker, also was on hand to send off the workers.
It's been a great company. It's said the employees have been fantastic. They've been so generous with all the different organizations around here.
Local leaders are still working to find a buyer for the plant, which is currently running on a skeleton staff and will officially halt production in May. Adam Stasinski, WJBC and WJBC.com.
Bloomington Normal residents will pay a cent more for every dollar they spend in the area next year. WJBC's Joe Ragusa says the two municipalities passed a sales tax increase earlier in 2015, and it's one of our top stories of the year.
The sales tax in Bloomington and Normal will be 8.75% starting on January 1st. The Normal Town Council pushed the proposal through first with a unanimous vote in early September. 25% of the new revenue generated from the tax increase would go towards the county's mental health needs, but the rest could go to things like Connect Transit or a new multi-sport complex. Councilman Kevin McCarthy supports those measures.
They are investments, they're not wants. So government's role in helping support those things is fundamental. It's not a needs or wants conversation anymore. It's a how are you going to do it?
The discussion over a sales tax increase in Bloomington was a bit more contentious. Alderman David Sage says the council should have had more time.
This is not an 11th hour that we've made, right? This is the 11th hour that normal has made for us.
Some citizens are angry about the sales tax increase, like Gary Lambert, who's worried the council is spending too much on quality of life issues.
Because what you're doing is continuing to fund these projects while not adequately planning for the real needs of the community.
The tax increase is estimated to bring in about $9.6 million annually for Bloomington, and half of that will go towards the structural deficit in the city's budget next year. 25% will go towards the county's mental health needs, same as normal, and the remaining quarter will go towards street resurfacing. Alderman Mboka Milwalambwe liked that half the money was going towards those purposes.
The other 50%, I wasn't quite sure. I needed to have a little bit more assurances as to where the money was going to go.
He voted against the proposal, along with Alderman Kevin Lauer. In order to start collecting the increased sales tax by the beginning of the year, both municipalities had to file paperwork with the state by October 1st. Joe Ragusa, WJBC and WJBC.com.
More money perhaps for Bloomington Normal, but less money for the state. 2015 was the year without a budget, as Dave Dahl recaps one of the top stories of 2015.
It seems so long ago. The regularly scheduled session of the Illinois General Assembly was winding down in late May. On the House floor, Republican Mark Batnick and Democrat Greg Harris.
On an hour's notice, you're asking us to vote on $2.6 billion worth of funding.
And for those who have been in our appropriation committee, these are topics which we've been discussing since the governor introduced his proposed budget.
Harris fielded questions from another Republican, Patty Ballack.
I don't know where we're going to have the funding for this. Those unpaid bills go to the providers, doctors, nursing homes, small business people.
A few days later, we heard from Governor Bruce Rauner about an anti-Democrat advertising blitz and House Speaker Mike Madigan's plans for continuous session.
We do need to get our message out to the people.
When we are here in session, we will be taking action for every member of the House and the Senate to vote on.
And December 1st, the first meeting in a long time between the governor and four leaders, featuring the comedy stylings of Senate President John Kellerton.
We don't meet. How are we supposed to know how to reach a conclusion? What if I wanted to surrender to you? Where was I supposed to go?
Most of the 2015 budget is being spent, even though the tax rate is now lower for fiscal year 2016. Caught in the crunch, higher ed, and social services. With one of the top stories from 2015, this is Dave Dahl.
And there was a special election, a rare one, to fill a vacancy in Washington after a congressman's spending and ethics were called into question. A shocking downfall. One of WJBC's top stories of 2015. Few seem to have it as good as Aaron Schock.
I joke that being known for six-packs is a lot better than the alternative.
He was a celebrity congressman first elected at age 27. He was a fundraising machine and was thought to be a rising star in the Republican Party.
I think the reason I would submit why I've been reelected overwhelmingly each time I've run is because at the end of the day, I've delivered for the people of my district.
Then came a piece in the Washington Post which revealed lavish redecoration of his Washington, D.C. office and the theme of the television show Downton Abbey. Later, as David Stewart told us, reports surfaced that Schock had improperly received tens of thousands of dollars in federal reimbursements for travel costs, which triggered a federal investigation.
The latest report is that Schock spent more than $14,000 taxpayer dollars for private air travel last fall, including one trip from Peoria to Chicago for a Bears game. That's on top of the $40,000 worth of flights Schock took on donors' planes and on top of the money spent to make his office look like the set of Downton Abbey.
And on March 17th, Schock resigned, though he made no public appearances at the time. The media tracked down his father in Peoria.
10 years from now, whatever he's doing, he'll be successful at. I'll promise you that. Thank 2 years from now, he'll be successful. Because if he's not in jail.
A week later, Schock gave his farewell on the House floor.
I leave here with sadness and humility. For those whom I've let down, I will work tirelessly to make it up to you.
Schock never specified what he did. Schock's resignation led to a special election in a congressional district which Republicans have controlled for generations. State Senator Darren LaHood quickly emerged as the frontrunner.
Anytime you have a special election, I always kind of run paranoid and scared in whatever election I'm in. So we're out there working very, very hard. We're not taking anything for granted.
LaHood won the GOP primary, and Quincy High School teacher Rob Mellon got the Democratic nod in a rare summer primary in which few people voted. LaHood easily won election to the congressional seat that his father, Ray LaHood, had occupied for seven terms. As for Schock, he remains under investigation, though no charges have been filed. He has denied any wrongdoing, and Politico reports he has spent more than $2 million on lawyers in the case. This while his whereabouts have been largely unknown since he left public life. As for the rest of the 114th Congress, it was a brighter shade of red than the year before. Still, GOP control of both houses of Congress didn't give them a clear path to push their agenda. CBS News' Stephen Portnoy spent the year watching the action on Capitol Hill.
Congressional Republicans began 2015 with their largest majority in eight decades. But top House Democrat Nancy Pelosi saw it all as
this major amateur hour.
Homeland Security nearly shut down as the Republican rank and file urged a stand on immigration. In May, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul stood against the Patriot Act.
There needs to be a thorough debate.
The fight over the Iran deal dominated spring and summer, and Republicans pushed to defund Planned Parenthood, as undercover videos purported to show
harvesting and trafficking of babies' body parts.
History was made here in September, first as Pope Francis spoke to lawmakers.
God bless America.
Then, the very next morning,
you know, today's the day I'm going to do this.
Speaker John Boehner rocked the Capitol with news of his resignation.
Prolonged leadership turmoil would do irreparable harm to the institution.
The turmoil lasted more than a month until conservatives who urged Boehner's ouster backed Paul Ryan.
The House is broken.
The young speaker pledged to fix it. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News.
And the U.S. Senate race for 2016 got off to an early start as John Gregory recaps one of the top stories of 2015.
U.S. Senator Mark Kirk made it clear he would run for re-election. And by March, he had his first opponent, Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth. Kirk said sometime after that their shared military backgrounds may make for a more respectful race.
Very much so. I would caution you all with regard to the Senate election in 2016. There's one other step that you should be reminded is to come, which is a Democratic primary.
Duckworth did pick up primary challengers, the first being former Chicago Urban League president Andrea Zopp, who attacked Duckworth's old stance against same-sex marriage in October.
It's good that she changed it, but this is a civil rights issue, so this is the kind of issue that you need to take leadership on.
State Senator and former NFL player Napoleon Harris entered the race in the fall, as did a primary opponent for Kirk, Oswego businessman James Martyr. But despite having contested primaries, Kirk and Duckworth have mostly focused on each other, like when Duckworth responded to a Kirk ad attacking her position on Syrian refugees.
She's out there doing exactly what the Republican playbook is telling him to do, which is to have people cower in fear. My nation is greater than that. My nation is stronger than that.
No primary debates have been confirmed within either party. With one of the top stories from 2015, this is John Gregory.
Up next, the year in agriculture and the year in Livingston County. This is WJBC This Year. Welcome back to WJBC This Year. Paris, the city of light, turned red with blood and black from grief after multiple terror attacks this year. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive reports.
On January 7th, the calm elegance of Paris was shattered by mass murder. Cartoonists at the satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo shot dead by French Muslim radicals. Minutes later,
the two masked gunmen spotted a police officer on the sidewalk, and they executed him at point-blank range. You can hear one of them shout, "This is to avenge the Prophet Muhammad."
12 murder victims. 2 days later, a third attacker took hostages at a Jewish grocery store and killed four of them. Foreign leaders joined in tributes. People worldwide declared they are Charlie, standing for freedom of speech. Far worse, November 13th, attacks at six locations in Paris. 130 people murdered. Seven attackers died. Most blew themselves up.
accomplices got away.
C'est un acte de guerre.
French President François Hollande declared this was an act of war by ISIS. He flew to Washington and Moscow to strengthen a coalition to smash ISIS in Syria and Iraq.
And December 2nd in San Bernardino, California, saw the worst terror attack in America since 9/11. CBS News' Steve Futterman was quickly on scene.
It began with frivolity. It ended in bloodshed.
It was like right here.
A holiday gathering for county health care workers in San Bernardino, California, turned into a massacre.
There are 14 people that are deceased.
Two killers, a husband and wife dressed in black tactical gear and ski masks and armed with assault rifles, opened fire. This woman's daughter was inside.
She was shot in her side. They were pretending to be dead because these guys are still out there.
The search for the killers lasted just a few hours.
San Bernardino and Shedden. See one guy down. There's one guy in the back of a car.
The killers were Muslims and supporters of ISIS.
We are now investigating this as an act of terrorism.
There was a quick backlash.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Trump was strongly criticized, but many Americans agreed that some changes were necessary. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
And as the highest tribunal in the country, the U.S. Supreme Court has the ability to change the course of society and law. And as CBS News' Barry Bagnotta reports, this was a year where they did just that.
From the Supreme Court steps to San Francisco City Hall. Cheers for the year's most important ruling allowing gay and lesbian couples to wed. And on that day, Mark Streeter and Hai Nguyen did.
Jim, would you please join hands? I now pronounce you spouses for life.
Another big loss for conservatives, a keystone Obamacare provision spared.
The Affordable Care Act is here to stay.
Opponents called the ruling
a tragedy for the rule of law in this country.
A landmark Obama administration air quality rule was thrown out because the EPA didn't consider costs. A death penalty drug battle had
states going back to firing squads and gas chambers.
CBS's Andrew Cohen says until the high court ruled the controversial sedative midazolam could be used. The justices made it easier to file housing and workplace discrimination claims, struck down local ordinances that limit signs based on their messages, and refused to give free speech protection to specialty license plates.
Low commodity prices, variable weather, and continued uncertainty in Springfield challenged farmers this year. Scary Muehling has more in one of the top stories of 2015.
Many found optimism in Governor Bruce Rauner's appointment of farmer Philip Nelson as Illinois Director of Agriculture early in the year. Nelson led Agriculture Day festivities at the state level for the first time in many years.
I think any time you can highlight the number one industry in the state, it's a good thing.
Spring brought the opening of a new office building for the McLean County Farm Bureau. Most farmers were able to plant in a timely fashion, but June and July brought too much rain. Weed pressure was soon not the only concern, says A.J. Woodyard with BASF.
I've got an intern that was just out last week scouting some fields, told me there was almost no gray leaf spot pressure, came back a week later, and there was a lot of gray leaf spot pressure.
With the crop growing in the field, some area farmers took an opportunity to connect with consumers at the first-ever Illinois Harvest Dinner. Pontiac farmer Mary Mackinson-Faber helped organize the event.
You could sit down, have a good conversation, and learn from each other.
Farmers also focused a great deal on nutrient loss reduction plans. Illinois Farm Bureau's Lauren Lurkins.
The ultimate goal would be to see a reduction in the size of the hypoxic zone down in the Gulf of Mexico, but we have local water quality issues that need to be addressed as well.
Youth exhibitors at the McLean County Fair could participate in a livestock sale for the first time in many years. 15-year-old Joe Moore of Carlock was grateful for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for coming out and supporting us and buying our animals and their premiums.
Agriculture was front and center at the Illinois State Fair, only to see Ag Director Nelson and State Fair Manager Patrick Buchan resigned from their posts amid controversy a few weeks later. September brought the Farm Progress Show back to Decatur with the anticipation of another harvest. McLean County farmer Fred Greeter says harvest weather was outstanding.
We can't remember a year when you had more consecutive days of operations.
Yields were variable, says Rob Schaefer of El Paso.
In 50 yards, you could go from zero to 250 bushel.
In November, Governor Rauner appointed Springfield lawmaker Raymond Poe as the next state agriculture director. Carrie Muehling, WJBC and WJBC.com.
What on earth is going on planet Earth? CBS News' Heather Bosch looks back at the weather that was often too hot, too cold, extremely dry, or very, very wet.
This was the year that wildfires consumed more than 9 million acres across the U.S.
We just watched the houses around us burn.
Rain coming down in biblical proportions swept away lives and demolished property from coast to coast.
We've pretty much lost everything.
All that water, even as California suffered through its fourth year of drought.
State regulators have ordered the first mandatory cutbacks in municipal water usage.
To top it off, the strongest hurricane ever recorded in the Western Hemisphere roared into Mexico as a Category 5. Scientists offered a new theory. Global warming is slowing down the jet stream, leaving weather patterns to linger longer.
That could make a wet situation dangerously wet. It could make a heat wave dangerously long.
A UN conference in Paris led to the first global pact to limit greenhouse gas pollution, but it imposes no sanctions on countries that don't, and critics warn
the emission targets aren't big enough, and the deal doesn't do enough to change that.
And as we continue our top stories of 2015, WJBC's Cynthia Graw recaps the top stories in Livingston County this year.
There was no shortage of notable stories in Livingston County in 2015. Heather Lemieux was sentenced to natural life in prison in February. She was convicted of first-degree murder in the death of her foster daughter, Kiana Rudisill, last October. Livingston County State's Attorney Seth Uphoff weighed in on the sentencing.
It was really just a tragic case all the way around. There was no good aspect to this case other than, I believe, the right outcome was reached.
David C. Staten of Streeter was charged with the murder of Samuel E. Murphy of Long Point in August. The incident began as a domestic situation and escalated into a hostage situation before police were able to get into the house and arrest Staten. In November, the small community of Cornell was shaken by the news of the deaths of Wesley Thorson and Dawn Thorson in what is being investigated as a murder-suicide. After months of Zoning Board of Appeals hearings, the county board denied Invenergy's special use permit for the Pleasant Ridge Wind Farm in July. The vote happened twice, with the first one being a tie, and Chairman Marty Fannin admitted to making a mistake on that vote.
I've got to come clean at least six times. I tried to explain to everybody so that they understood what their vote meant when they voted. And last night, I voted no when I really intended to vote yes.
During the next meeting, the 24-member board voted again, and with the tally of 13-9, the permit was denied. It was announced earlier in the year that the Basketball Museum of Illinois would make its home in Pontiac's Vermilion Plaza. In more sporting news, September brought with it the news of the Midwest Professional Basketball Association bringing a team to Pontiac. The Pontiac 66ers' first season begins in January with an 8-game schedule. More businesses have been added across the county as well. The groundbreaking for the new Hampton Inn in November joined the long list of businesses that already made their homes in the county this year or who are planning on coming in the future. The Eagle Theater in downtown Pontiac got a facelift opening as the Eagle Performing Arts and Conference Center in November. The stage will see the likes of comedians, musicians, and Vermilion players' performances and will be a new meeting and conference location for those needing one. Pontiac Mayor Bob Russell said he hopes to see the building in use every day.
We're having a little trouble with some of the scheduling, so we're going to be real tight on some of that, but we believe it'll be rented a lot, and that's how it pays for itself.
Cynthia Graw, WJBC and WJBC.com.
Up next, Park Sparks Protests. This is WJBC This Year. Welcome back to WJBC This Year. The Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers, or PARC, exam drew concern from both parents and educators alike in the Twin Cities during 2015. WJBC's Adam Stasinski reports on one of our top stories of 2015.
It was the first year for the PARC exam. A vocal group of students in Bloomington Normal certainly weren't fans of it. Some students went as far as having a rally in Uptown Normal to express their distaste. Normal Community High School senior Lambert Lee says the 10-hour-plus test takes students out of the classroom when they could be learning.
It's supposed to measure college and career readiness, but there's no evidence to prove that. And it's just a waste of money and a waste of time.
Bloomington High School sophomore Alexandra Cordell says the PARC exam also creates an additional financial burden.
It's a mainly online test, and it's difficult for impoverished schools to get these funding for all this equipment that's needed to take these tests. Of course, there are written tests, but they're not the same as the electronic tests.
Several students went as far as not even taking the exam. Cordell was one of them.
My teacher was pretty understanding when I said I'm not going to take the test, but then again, she was also kind of irked that we weren't going to take this seriously, I guess. In her terms, take it seriously.
What did local school district leaders think of PARC? Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel offers his opinion.
It's another national exam. And if we're going to do it,
Let's do it well. In other words, it's going to impact what's happening in the classroom, not a year from now, but we want our teachers to have that information so they can do something within the next, should I say, 24 hours?
District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley.
They share concerns about the amount of testing that is done, and certainly you'll hear grumblings that we're doing too much. And when we say we, it's not certainly us. It's what is required of us. And that comes not only from the state, but the federal level.
In the end, 1 million kids took the test in Illinois. Of those, almost a third met or exceeded standards. State School Superintendent Tony Smith didn't expect perfect results the first time.
This new moment, this assessment of readiness, has to be part of how we go forward to solve the questions about getting kids ready for the world of work, continued and higher learning, and really ready to participate in our communities.
Adam Stasinski, WJBC and WJBC.com.
Hackers were everywhere in 2015. They stole, they embarrassed, they even threatened national security. CBS News' Steve Kathan reports on that and other technology stories that made headlines in 2015.
The Paris attacks highlighted dark apps used by terrorists to hide communications.
It caused a huge blind spot for intelligence agencies.
The IRS was hit by hackers. So were the personal emails of the CIA director and Homeland Security chief.
On Twitter, the hacker appeared to be taunting officials and others in government.
A major breach hit home. Exposing users of the cheating website Ashley Madison.
That creates some potential for blackmail.
The FCC sparked a legal fight stopping tech giants from blocking or slowing internet traffic.
This is going to impact everybody's lives.
Washington moved to require registration of recreational drones.
When you enter the national airspace, it's a very serious matter.
Apple gave us something new for our wrists.
The smartwatch has a big hurdle in terms of consumer acceptance.
A new star blazed across the internet.
My name is
PewDiePie, a video shooting gamer with millions of followers and millions in ad revenue.
You ask my fans, I'm just a funny, silly guy that they can really relate to.
Don't feel like you're making enough money? Worried about your stock portfolio? CBS News' Frank Setapandy says you're not alone as he recaps the top business and economic stories of 2015.
The cry for income equality went out across the country.
How hard is it to live on $9 an hour?
You can't even make it.
Jobs in the economy grew enough to make a difference for some.
Well, I just got a raise.
But not for millions of others.
I want my $15!
The push by fast food workers for $15 an hour gained traction. The industry pushed back.
There is a limit to what you're going to pay for a hamburger.
Falling gasoline prices eased the pinch on family budgets. On Wall Street, the specter of higher interest rates and an economic slowdown in China took a toll.
A midsummer nightmare on Wall Street, stock prices.
But investors got over it, and the bull market chugged along into its seventh year. VW was caught cheating on emissions tests.
I apologize on behalf of everyone at Volkswagen.
GM was fined $900 million for selling unsafe cars. Europe gave Greece another financial bailout, but with sacrifices that led to protests in Athens.
And now CBS News' Peter King looks back at some of the trials which made headlines in 2015.
Just over 2 years after the Boston Marathon bombing, Johar Tsarnaev's trial was over.
The defense team admitted Tsarnaev's guilt from the beginning, but pleaded for mercy.
They didn't get it, and he received the death penalty. Public reaction?
Feels like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
He's going to go to hell. That's where he wanted to go, but he's going to get there quicker than he thought.
The movie, American Sniper, lasted just over 2 hours.
I'm willing to meet my creator.
About as long as the jury considered the fate of the man who killed Chris Kyle and a friend.
We, the jury, found the defendant, Eddie Ray Routh, guilty.
Routh received life in prison.
Oh, my gosh, man. What's happening?
So did James Holmes, who shot and killed 12 people and injured dozens more at an Aurora, Colorado movie theater. Hit her in 2012.
Get the defendant out of my courtroom, please. Thank you.
And found guilty of killing a friend.
Aaron Hernandez may have been a well-known New England Patriots football player. However, in the end, the jury found that he was just a man who committed a brutal murder.
Peter King, CBS News.
And you read about them in the newspapers, you saw their photos on magazine covers. They were the personalities in the headlines this year. CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes reminds us why we are so fascinated.
The secret is out. Warren Beatty is one of the men who inspired Carly Simon's song.
while Charlie Sheen made a big reveal on NBC's Today Show.
I'm here to admit that I am, in fact, HIV positive.
Olympian Bruce Jenner became a hero in the LGBT community for the Vanity Fair cover with the caption, "Call me Caitlin."
This is about your life.
Kentucky clerk Kim Davis went to jail rather than issue same-sex marriage licenses.
Are we not a tolerant enough state to accommodate my deeply held religious convictions?
In Minnesota,
shut him down.
Dentist Walter Palmer was vilified for killing Cecil the Lion. And in Baltimore, Toya Graham was lionized for smacking a son who was participating in riots.
That whole thing was not safe.
Finally, a salute to Anthony Sadler, Alex Skarlatos, and Spencer Stone, who took down a gunman on a crowded train bound for Paris.
He seemed like he was ready to fight to the end, so were we.
The very definition of heroes.
That was Harley Carnes with the CBS News. Up next, we look ahead to next week's edition of WJBC This Year. There's still much more to come as we recap WJBC this year. Next week, we will look more in-depth at the state budget crisis, which lasted half of 2015. We will say goodbye to those who we lost in the last year and look ahead to what McLean County hopes will be a better year for addressing the county's mental health needs. All that and more on WJBC this year, next week. And if you missed this week's program, go to the WJBC.com podcast page. Wishing you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, I'm Eric Stock.